Praise you, the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again in the almighty name of Jesus. Thank you for making us to live at the end of the age, showing off things which kings and prophets and so forth desire to see, wasn't given to them, wasn't their time. Bible says, but for the saints of the end time. Father, we thank you for giving us understanding of the sign of the times. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord of God, now help us to know the hour of our visitation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we are here again as always to gather around your word. Father, Lord, we know as we read this morning, let it be mixed with faith in our heart. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And profit us going forward, even on down to the coming of the Lord. Father, thank you.
Amen.
In Jesus' holy name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This morning, by the grace of God, the faith of God, you see, we do not have to struggle to have faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the faith of God, we don't really need to struggle to have faith. So let's talk on that subject this morning. It is something we must have, meaning the faith of God. Bible even say have the faith of God, right? We must have the faith of God. And the scripture does not leave us in darkness as to how to get it. In Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is actually two things in general. Number one, it is the written word. See? Number two, it is the living word. So it's both written and the living word of God. So we have God's faith when God's living word is living in us. So I say again, we have God's faith when God's living word is living in us. The living word is eternal, so it never changes. It always is. It does not have a beginning of life, and it does not have an end of life. It is God himself. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is God himself. God cannot be separated from his word. God and his word are one. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says, when God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of the Egyptians, Moses learned that the Israelites would not believe in. So in Exodus 3:13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God's answer was very, very profound in the next verse. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So the living word is the experienced word. Another way to express, the living word is the experienced word. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the word. He is the word and the manifestation of the word, which gives us experience on which to have our faith. From Genesis to Revelation, God never asked anybody to do anything without first giving them an experience. Throughout the Bible, God, before he had to do anything, he gave them an experience. A spiritual experience is a manifestation of the living word in the life of a believer. So a spiritual experience is a manifestation of the living word in the life of a believer. Moses was able to stand before the other Pharaoh. Why? Because Moses had an experience when the living word was manifested in his life to do a burning bush. Praise the Lord. Before he sent you out and so on, he gave you a kind of experience. Moses wasn't an exception, right? Before he could stand before that, a single man invasion of Egypt, right? How can you do that? A single man invasion of the greatest army in the world of that time, right? How can that be? God gave Moses an experience. When that living word was manifested before Moses in the burning bush, Jacob was able to face Esau because Jacob had an experience, right? All night long. Wrestle. I will call it Theophany, the story there in Genesis 32, I believe it is, So an experience, right? All night long and so on. Wrestled. So now he was so scared of Esau coming with 400 men of war. See? And then before he could face him, but he separated himself all night long and so forth. So he had an experience all night long, so he could face Esau, right? So I'm saying that God said you to do something, give you an experience. Apostle Paul was able to endure beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, and a hardship because he had an experience on the road to Damascus, a manifestation of the living word. You know the story in Acts chapter 9, has an experience. So then that's why he was able to do all these things. In fact, Ananias was told to tell him, oh Lord, to go and talk to this man, don't you know that he come here, to come and seek us prisoner and so on. The Lord said, don't worry about it. I will show him what thing he will suffer, on my behalf. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so he sent before kings and so on, and what he going to suffer. So he had an experience, that's why he was able to withstand all those things. God really preparing for it and things like that, So we see. So lack of understanding of this pivotal faith concept I'm talking about here was the problem with Martha. In the New Testament, Martha, the sister of Mary, right? When the Lord was here on earth. Lack, of understanding of this very, very pivotal, faith concept was the problem of Martha. And in the 11th chapter of the book of the Gospel of John, the living word came to Bethany, where his friend Lazarus had died. Martha accused the Lord Jesus, saying, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. See? Because when the Lord had died, he waited 3 more days, before he even moved there and so forth. And when the Lord arrived at his scene, if thou had been here, my brother had not died, he said and so on. The Lord assured the grieving sister that Lazarus will rise again. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But that was not what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. That wasn't what the Lord Jesus Christ meant, So the living word was on the scene right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what the Lord meant. So that is why in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Lord said, Martha was saying in so many words, response to the law was that the law could have healed Lazarus in the past, right? Or that he could raise him up in the future. That is his thinking, right? Our thinking and so on. What the Lord was saying was, Martha, I am here right now to meet the need. I am. Yeah, Lord, if you had been here, I would have healed him. Oh, well, I know the resurrection in the last day, you will raise him up and so on. But the Lord said, look, I am the resurrection and the life. I can meet that need right now. Praise the Lord. See? And so there is a saying, over time, that the day of miracles are past. There are those who think that the days of miracles are past, right? Well, in reality, there is no such thing as the day of miracles, actually. In reality, there is no such thing as the day of miracles. This was exactly what the Lord was trying to tell Martha. He was telling her that there is no such thing as a day of miracles. Not a past day of miracles, not a future day of miracles, but there is only the God, you know, in every day, at every age, and with the power to work miracles and to meet the needs of people who need miracles. Miracles. God is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that way he was telling her, not only not in the past, not in the future, but that is, I mean, that is the God of miracles. I worked miracles in the past, now, and in the future. So that's what the Lord was trying to teach her or trying to tell her. God has neither beginning nor end. He never was. He never shall be. He always is. I am as I am. Praise the Lord. Now who is? No. So when Moses crossed the Red Sea, I'm talking to Elijah or the Father that look. No such thing as the day of miracles, really. You know, we have the God of miracles. When Moses crossed the Red Sea, it was not a day of miracles. I don't think so. When God led the children of Israel in the wilderness, it was not a day of miracles. When Joshua crossed the Jordan, it was not a day of miracles. When the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho until the walls fell, it was not a day of miracles. The same with Daniel, named them all, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, with Elijah, and with every manifestation of Old Testament and New Testament saints. It was not that they lived in the day of miracles. It was that they served the God of miracles.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? That's what it was. So, they serve the God of miracle working power. Who is the same in every age, every dispensation, and every century. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's how I see that. Cause that thing, day of miracle, no, every dispensation, every century and so forth, so the days of miracles have never ceased because God of miracles ever lived. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's the way it's supposed to be read and so forth, that to be believed. so the devil's purpose is to attack the word of God. He tried to attack the living word, and that is how Lucifer became Satan. That is all recorded in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, which we all familiar people in the Bible know that, or Ezekiel 28, anyway. So he tried to make himself higher than God, and he did not succeed. Now, what is he doing now? He wants to attack the written word of God. See, the only way that he can attack the word of God is as it is lived by you and me, meaning God's children. So the only way he can attack the word of God is as that word is lived out in our lives. He attacks the word of God through the circumstances of the Christian life. That's what he tried to do, He attacked the word of God these days through the circumstances of our life. Now, let's take a few of this to see how it happened. Daniel prayed for 21 days, right, before he received an answer to his prayer from God. At the end of the 21 days, he had a vision in which a heavenly presence lifted him and said unto him in Daniel 10:12, "Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. The Bible says, the angel said, but that's talking about, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. So Satan attacked, crushed your life, but the word was true. And the answer came anyway. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. The New Testament says this concerning Elijah the prophet in James 5:17. I'm saying that the way that the devil does this is to attack God's word to the circumstances in the life of God's children. Anyway, the New Testament says this about Elijah, James 5:17-18. Elias was a man subject to lack passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. The Bible says, of course, this was referring to the time of the drought, you know, at the end of the drought in the, you know, in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, you know, which we all know the story of Elijah and so on. Anyway, after each time of prayer, start to bring back the rain, right? He sent his servant, meaning Elijah did that, his servant, to see if the rain was on the horizon. On each of the 6 occasions, what do we see? The servants return with the word that there was no rain in sight. No doubt, Satan was there each time to say, all right, you have prayed and nothing is happening. You know, where is your God now? You know, each of those 6 times, Satan was involved. I believe it's true and so on that, you know. He was involved. Elijah bowed and traveled in prayer again. This time, when the Sabbath went, he came back with this report, 1 Kings 18:44. Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. That cloud was enough for Elijah to know that the victory was won. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that tiny cloud, that's enough. Elijah, you know, a man of faith, right? The word was true again, you see? Rain was on the way. Elijah knew he should get up and run, or he would soon be drenched, you know, and so with the deluge of rain. The word was real and present. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it took that long, you see, but that's how we, you know, start to get in the way, but you know, as he persisted, you know, and you know, God's word was true. Praise the Lord God Almighty. He will never fail. Anna is another example of a saint who prayed against overwhelming odds. You know, Anna, the mother of Samuel in the Bible. She had been married for many, many years, and despite her prayer, you know, she had no children. Her heart cry was that her barrenness will be healed and she should have a son. She went to the house of God, and every year, you know the story there and so on, where she wept and prayed unto the Lord in such earnestness that is recorded in 1 Samuel 1:13. Now Anna, she speak in her heart, on her lips, literally, only her lips moved, the Bible says, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. We know that story properly. So she prayed like a drunken woman to people, right? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. No doubt, Satan was there to accuse her, you see. I'm saying that Satan will use, try to accuse or try to attack the word of God through the circumstances in our lives, right? So no doubt, Satan was there to accuse her. You are making a fool of yourself before the priest. God does not care about you. We can imagine Satan saying to her and everything like that, you know. However, Anna was given the promise of God. And when she left the temple, she had a victory of faith. It is recorded in the 18th verse, in 1 Samuel 1:18, the Bible says, her countenance was no more sad. Praise the Lord. Victory of faith, yes, as she prayed and so forth, something happened to her. Hannah had the assurance she had God's word. Within a set period of time, after the travail of her soul, she returned to the temple to present a miracle song, Samuel to Eli. And you will read the testimony here and the presentation in 1 Samuel 1:25. And they threw a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that has stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Praise the Lord. And that became the very first seer in Israel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See? And of course, God opened her womb more and she had more children and things like that, Amen. Just see the qualities in our life. How the time we try to attack the word of God and so on, using the circumstances in our life. Amen. Who is a classic example of God's word being attacked in his circumstances? This is Job. The Bible tells us that Job was an upright man, perfect in his ways. But Satan had an answer for that. What was the answer of Satan in Job 1:9? Does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an edge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will cause thee to thy seed. Of course, with God's permission, Satan then attacked Job in the same manner that he always attacks people, through the circumstances of their life. That is the way he attacks God's children, through the circumstances of our life and so forth. In quick succession, Job lost his earthly possessions. He lost his children. He lost his health. And he even lost the understanding of his wife to the point where what he wants to say, just go curse God and die, She lost all those things and so on, and the understanding of his wife. He also had to contend with the judgment of his friends who accused him of sin in his life. Job lost everything he had, except what? Except faith in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, he lost everything except faith in God. In Job 1:22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Praise the Lord. He didn't do it. Now, his crime was recorded in Job 33:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Praise the Lord. See? That should be the mentality of the saint of God. Everyone that is born of God is tried one way or the other. The Bible says, I am not ashamed to use the word. The Bible says, unless we are bastards, right? Praise the Lord. But thank God we are not bastards, we are God's children. Praise the Lord. So Job did not let Satan accuse him in the circumstances of his life. Satan today comes against the word of God in the life of every believer. Yes, in the life of every believer. So it comes against the word of God in your life, my life, and every believer. Attacking God in the circumstances of our life, but we should not allow him to even do it. No. So with God's faith, we know that no matter what our needs are, God will take us through. It is a matter of time. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will take us, no matter what the need might be, no matter how great it might be, it's a matter of time. God will, you know, put us through, and we will have whatever we ask the Lord and so forth. It's only a matter of time. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, we mean God means all things. Praise the Lord. No matter how absurd, how unreasonable it may be to the flesh, God's word say that all things work together for good. We that love the Lord. Praise the Lord God. So therefore, by that now, we know we can go through anything and through everything through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come as to be victors. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, when we have his faith and God's gift working in our life, we have a deep knowledge that we know we go through it because we know that it is only a matter of a period of time. Amen? Because we have God's faith in our heart, right? Talking about the faith of God, right? And it doesn't need to be ready with as well as, you know. We know that when that period of time is over, we are coming out of the situation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a matter of time. Praise the Lord. Now, you are going to have the victory because God's word will triumph. It will never be defeated. Praise the Lord. So we can stand firm in his name. Most of us, all through our lifetime, struggle for this quality of faith, talking about this morning. This struggle can and should be eliminated. See, you don't have to really struggle to have faith, really, you know. There is a concept that somehow got into Christianity, whereby we have the idea that the fulfillment of the promises of God are dependent upon our ability to be able to manifest faith, to appropriate them. Yeah, he came into Christianity and so on. We all went to that error many times and so on like that, you know, thinking that the promises of God are dependent upon me or you, or our ability to manifest faith, to appropriate them. If only we realize that God's word is settled. God spoke it, it is done. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, that's how it works. It should be working. It is not depending upon whether you and I, or we are going to rise up and be superhuman in our faith to operate or appropriate it. No. No need for struggling. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, and we can get one of the examples in the Bible, in fact, many of them, the true faith and so forth, not by struggling, something like that, you know. So, so we see, rest assured that God will not give us a promise and then make it vulnerable and leave it up to whether we could rise up and have faith by and through ourselves or our own ability to appropriate it. Rather, faith does not come by our rising up and having the ability to appropriate the promise that God has given us. Faith comes by the word. Praise the Lord. That's how faith comes. It comes by the word. See? God is not depending on us to bring his promises to pass. Amen?
Yeah.
Not doing that. So, what God is looking for is that it's what Virgin Mary demonstrated Praise the Lord. And that woman, 17-year-old, no virgin and so forth, I don't know, maybe somewhere in India and so on. That's what God is looking for. The angel Gabriel, you know, came and spoke a word to her. The word spoken was from God. In Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost, you know the story of the, you know, of the incarnation and so on, as you know. So, and while she was wondering why this should be and so on, how can that be? In Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Praise the Lord. So the promises of God are in one way are staggering to us. Yes, they do. It is literally staggering what God has promised, you know. But when we come up against these promises, what are we going to do going forward? You know, what are we going to do? Stagger in our imagination, is that what we do? No, should not be so. Falter in our faith? No, not so. The Bible talks about Abraham, I believe, in Romans chapter 4, I believe it is. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Amen? He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We don't stagger. No. So, like Abraham, he didn't stagger at the promise. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, we are going to say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen? That was Mary said. Praise the Lord. Be it unto me. God made a promise, right? Just say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's what God is looking for. The power for the fulfillment of God's word is not in man or in anything that man possesses. You know? And I say that again. The power for the fulfillment of God's word is not in man or anything that man possesses. The power for the fulfillment of the word of God is in the word of God itself. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's simple, isn't it? God in simplicity. Praise the Lord. God is always in simplicity and so on. That, you know, God, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. You know, and so that the written word, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is all of those things and so on, that, you know. So, when we remember that we cannot separate God from his word, then the power for the fulfillment of that word is God. See, can't be any other thing, you know. God will not allow his promises to be vulnerable. He has spoken it, he will perform it. Praise the Lord. See, no need of struggling, no, and anything like that, you know, no struggling and something like that, you know. So that, you know, so just be it unto me according to thy word. And what I'm saying here, Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Ye shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, you may rebuke them there, O rebellious house, rebuking those house of Israel or Judah, whatever. Will I say the word, and we perform it, hear the Lord God. So, you know, so he said we perform his own word and so on. In Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not say, do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not say, you know, make it good? See? So we do not say, now, in reality and so on, we don't deny that we had and are going to have problems in this life. We had and we do all the time and so on. We don't deny any of that. We do not deny the reality even of sickness, you know. We are not mind over matter. Praise the Lord. We are not mind over matter at all, you know. Not using any mental strength to influence physical reality and things like that. You know, we don't do that. We do not deny that we had are going to go through hard places and trials and tests, you know. So we have been there, all of us. I don't see anybody sitting here who has not been through these things, you know, and so tests and trials and so on like that, you know. So we've been there, and we are here because of God's faithfulness. Praise the Lord. God's faithfulness to His word. So even as the Lord Himself was tested and tried, so are we, and we be. So in Matthew 16:24, the Lord said this: if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This implies suffering, testing and endurance, just as the Lord Himself endured the cross. Bible is looking at the glory set before Him. He endured the cross, right? Praise the Lord. Despising the shame thereof. Praise the Lord. Wow. In John 16:33, He already told us about all these things. We remind ourselves and refresh ourselves. These things, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even in John 17:15, He said another thing to us: I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world. You see? So just so they can escape all these things. But that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? So assure us, you know, some tests and so on, but deliverance and so on like that, you know. You know, so we must rise up in the word of God and let God's word rise up within us to fill us with God's word. Even able to Satan's attacks, even in the circumstances of our life, you know, look what I say again, like that, you know, that Bajimeri said, "Lay it unto me according to thy word." That is it. That is the end of all struggle. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
As far as faith is concerned, you know, according to thy word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, to remind us again and so on, exactly what Mary practiced and so on. And there are, you know, two Greek words, you know, which are translated into the word, you know, W-O-R-D, right? There are two Greek words that are translated like that and so on in the New Testament. While both of these expressions mean word, W-O-D, each has its own specific, distinct meaning. One of these Greek words is logos, L-O-G-O-S, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Logos, you know, the other is called Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, you know. The Logos means that which goes far beyond the spoken and the written word. You see, it goes beyond that. It is implied to us by the Holy Ghost that this is something which is a self-existence. The Logos is self-existence. In other words, it has no beginning of this, and it has no end of life. It is an intelligence, this logo. It's an intelligence. It is a being that stands by itself. By what I'm saying now, you know who it is there. The logo is that self-existent power, which we know to be the word himself, meaning the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the Logos. Rhema, on the other hand, is a word from God, which is an extension of the Logos. Rhema is that spoken and written word that comes to us out of the very mind of God. Rhema is derived from a verb, and it means action. It means to speak. Or to speak a word. That's what Rhema means. Rhema comes from the very strength of the Logos himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, you know, these are all Greek words and things like that, you know, to give us understanding. So the Logos is God himself and so on like that, you know, and Rhema, no comment of that. As the Rhema is the spoken word, this Logos is the expression of the very mind of God. It is God himself. It is in the mind and the expression of the Logos that the word is formed that comes to us in the form of Rhema. When we receive it, we are not receiving words of man, but we are receiving thoughts of the very living God.
Amen.
See? Within the Rhema lies God's faith. That's right. You know, lies God's faith. You know, when a promise comes, when the personal word comes directly from God to us, we are not to struggle for faith. We are not. Rather, faith is already there with God's promise. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I say faith is already embedded in God's promise. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We need to struggle. Faith, that's why I say faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. So, with the spoken word, not only comes the word, but comes the faith to believe it. Amen?
Yeah.
It's all enwrapped in the word. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Just this morning, succinctly, why, you know, you know, I should struggle to have faith, you know, with the word or the promise of God itself, you know, it is the faith comes with it right there. So, only faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the word of God. No, remember in our salvation when we first came to the law, I believe Ephesians 2:8, by grace are we saved, right? Through faith. Not of ourselves, right? It is the gift of God.
Amen.
That faith is a gift of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Try. Not struggling now. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord. We can even look further to see that faith is the gift of God, right? We are told in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, then come faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's even fruit of the Spirit. The gift of God, right? You know, so not to be struggling and things like that, you know. It's all wrapped in God's word. So it's everything that we have of God is a gift. Praise the Lord. Right? It's a gift. Nothing that we qualify for anything like that. You know, it's a gift of God and so forth. That, you know. Bible says God has death unto every man in measure of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All you can do with that one is to let it grow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, your faith that grows exceedingly, right? Please praise the name of the Lord. We allow it to grow, to grow. And by Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the world. As they grow thereby. Praise the Lord. So this morning, we don't have to struggle to have faith. It's all enwrapped in the word of God. Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever the promise is, right? The faith comes with it. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, Father. With the faith of, we have the faith of God. Now it comes from God, and with it all things are possible. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the faith comes from God, then it can overcome the world, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We go this morning, Lord, Lord of God, knowing what we have, or even more, I'll be reminded what we really have, more than conquerors through him that loved us. Father, we give you all praise and glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' holy name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Praise ye the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I got joy.